Amen, amen. Thank you, brother. Hey, as Matthew spoke about, it is Pentecost Sunday. So your title today is this. Those that are watching at home, people here already know what the title is, right? Pentecost. Now what? Pentecost. Now what? Pentecost happened. But guess what? We can still celebrate it and use it today, guys. So what are you going to do with it now? Again, Pentecost, now what? Main scripture we're going to get into a little bit later is the book of John, chapter 14, verse 8 through 17 and 25 through 27. John 14, 8 through 17, NIV says this. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And Jesus answered, "Do you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen who? The Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me, who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works, the work themselves. Very truly I tell you, however, believe in me will do the works I am doing. Or whoever believes in me will do the works that I am doing. And they who do greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that my Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Amen. "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And if you ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you, to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. Because you know him, for he lives with you, and we all are be all in you." Amen. Are y'all excited? You excited? Your first scripture is going to come from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 14 to 17. Romans 8, 14 to 17, NIV version says this. "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought you out, or brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, if we are the children, then we are the heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ himself. If indeed we share the suffering in order that we may make, or may also share in his glory." Amen. Let's pray real fast. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I just ask you right now, Lord, allow your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Lord. Lord, may it be your word spoken and not mine, Lord. Lord, may you open our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, to the blessing and the message that you have for us today, Lord. Lord, and as always, may we continue to glean a little bit closer to you, Lord. Lord, may we have a new empowered celebration of Pentecost and what it truly moves in each one of our lives, Lord. Lord, we ask you to just be with us at the end of the service. In your name I pray. Amen. Alright, Romans 8, 14, 17. The ESV version says it this way. "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, for whom we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." Today we're going to gather in light of Pentecost, the day that the church was set ablaze by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Tongues of fire descended. Voices lifted in every language. And timid followers became bold witnesses. But Pentecost itself is not just about that moment in history, is it? It is truly a present reality for each one of us. The fire that still burns in every one of us believers. In Romans 8:14-17, it shows us this. It shows us the Spirit-filled life, what it looks like. Paul gives us three powerful truths that define Pentecost for the true believers for us. One, we're led by the Spirit. You're led by the Spirit. Two, we're adopted by the Father. Amen. And three, we're heirs with Christ Himself, who gave Himself for each one of us, right? So let's walk through these truths real fast and see how the Spirit of Pentecost transforms our lives today that we live in. Again, we're led by the Spirit. Paul writes, "For all of those are all are led by the Spirit of God, are sons of God." On Pentecost, our Spirit didn't just come to visit, did it? But He truly came to dwell, came to lead, and to guide each one of us. Being led by the Spirit doesn't just mean supernatural experiences, does it? It means to surrender. Surrender everything that we have. It means that we walk in obedience. It means that we follow His convictions, not ours. Right? It also means that we live in holiness. And say yes when He calls us to speak, to give, or to love. On that very first Pentecost, the disciples were led out of the upper room into the streets. Today, the Spirit leads us out of fear, out of sin, and out of our comfort zones into a mission and maturity for us. Right? Are y'all letting the Spirit lead you today? Or are you asking Him to follow you? We're also adopted by the Father, aren't we? You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons. Pentecost destroys fear. The same Peter who denied Jesus three times stood up on Pentecost and preached to thousands. Y'all hear that? He denied Him three times, didn't He? But on Pentecost, He was willing to stand up and preach to thousands upon thousands. Why? Why do you think it is? Because the Spirit replaced Peter's fear with belonging, with wanting. We are no longer slaves to sin, are we? To shame and to striving. We are adopted children of God. And Paul says that we cry, "Abba, Father." The intimate language of a child to their daddy. The Spirit assures us that we are not a mistake. You're not abandoned. You're not forgotten. But you're chosen. You're embraced. And you are empowered to be heirs with her Christ. If children, then heirs. Heirs of Christ and fellow heirs with heirs of God. And fellow heirs with Christ. I get that out. This is a breakthrough, isn't it? It's breathtaking as well. Through the Spirit, we are truly heirs with God Himself. What does that truly mean for us? It means this. It means that we inherit the kingdom. But more importantly, that we inherit the King Himself. We get the presence. We get the promises. We get the power of God through Christ. And yes, as Paul reminds us, suffering is a part of that journey along the way. But so is glory in the end. Amen? The Spirit gives us strength in suffering and hope and hardship. Pentecost is not a promise of a problem-free life, is it? Trust me, the disciples had problems back then. But it is a promise of a Spirit-filled perseverance through our lives. Are we living in Pentecost every day? So what do the Romans 8 teach each one of us about this Pentecost? The Spirit doesn't just come with fire. He comes to lead. The Spirit doesn't just come with power. He comes to adopt. The Spirit doesn't just fill us with gifts. He makes us heirs ourselves. And that same Spirit, that same one that descended on the tongues of fire, dwells in each one of us today. And He is still moving. He is still speaking. And He's still setting hearts ablaze today. So let us live like Pentecost people today. Let us live led by that Spirit, crying out, Abba, Father, living boldly as heirs of the kingdom that cannot be shaken and will not be shaken. Amen. Let the fire of Pentecost burn in you. Not just today, right? But every day. Every day. Because we truly see the promise and the power of the Holy Spirit in our main scripture. John 14:8-17. Jesus promises the Spirit will reveal God. It will indwell the believers. It will teach us truth and give peace for us. Pentecost itself is not only the birthday of the church, it is also a climactic fulfillment of God's covenant promise to dwell among and within His people. In John 14, Jesus, during His final farewell disclosure, comforts His disciples by pointing them forward. Not just to the cross, right? But to the coming of the Holy Spirit. Let us each look a little bit deeper at what Jesus teaches us about the Spirit, about who would come at Pentecost. Paul said to Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Is it enough for you today? Amen. Philip's request echoes the Old Testament longing to behold God's glory. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. And Jesus responds, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. It truly is a direct theological claim to His divinity, isn't it? He is the true radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. This is truly the heart of biblical revelation. The invisible God has made Himself known. And finally, fully and finally, in our Lord Jesus Christ. To know God, we have to know Jesus. We can't know God without knowing Jesus, can we? It's intertwined. The Holy Spirit's future ministry will be to continually reveal Christ. Not add new revelations, but continually reveal. The Spirit does not replace Christ, does it? The Holy Spirit don't replace Christ, but it does glorify Him. And enables us to behold Christ by faith. The word helper, Parakletos, means advocate, comforter, counselor. Someone who comes alongside. Someone to help out, right? Jesus promises another helper when He leaves, don't He? Implying He Himself is the first. The Spirit will come to continue Christ's presence and ministry for us. That truly is rooted in the prophetic promises of the Old Testament. Until the Spirit is poured up on the earth from on high, I will put my Spirit with you. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. These promises look forward to the new covenant reality, don't they? Where God dwells not in a temple made with the hands, but in the hearts of all of our people. The Spirit is a personal. Spirit is divine. The Spirit is eternally indwelling. He is not an impersonal force, but God Himself, given to every believer in Christ. At Pentecost, this promise was fulfilled in Acts 2, where the Spirit was poured out, making a new era in the redemptive history the age of the Spirit. Jesus here anticipates the inspiration of the New Testament. The Spirit itself will ensure that the apostles remember and faithfully record Christ's words. The Spirit is the one who illuminates the Scriptures and helps us to understand spiritual truths. The Spirit brings shalom, true peace, not as the world gives it, right? But as God gives Himself, Christ, as the Prince of Peace. The peace is truly the fruit of the Spirit and a sign of His indwelling presence within us. The Spirit itself is not merely a force that engages, but it is a teacher who sacrifices. He conforms us to Christ and gives us peace in turmoil, amid turmoil. So I ask you, the early church, filled with the Spirit, became a community of peace, a community of teaching, a community of unity, living out that promised ministry. Are we doing that today? Are we doing it still today, guys? At Pentecost, the Spirit's coming is not only the gift of power, is it? But the final step in God's redemptive plan to dwell among His people. In Eden, we see God walked with Adam and Eve. In the tabernacle in the temple, God dwelled among Israel. In the incarnation, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. In Pentecost, God now dwells in each one of us through that Holy Spirit of fire. In the consummation, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. Pentecost is not a detour, but it is a destination of God's desire to dwell within His people. The Spirit itself is a guarantee and the first fruits of the final restoration. Are we living in the power of that Spirit today? What does it mean for us today? It means this. The Spirit reveals Christ. The Spirit indwells us. The Spirit teaches and brings peace. The Spirit forms us into a new temple. On this Pentecost Sunday, let us not just remember the coming of the Spirit, but let us walk in step with that Spirit. He is not a one-time gift for us, right? But He is a continual presence for us to be indwelled within each one of us. How have you surrendered to Him today? Pentecost itself is more than just an event, isn't it? It's a fulfillment of Jesus' promise. In John 14, Jesus gives His disciples a foretaste of what's to come. He speaks of the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Spirit of truth, who will come to dwell within, with, and in His followers. At Pentecost, that promise, that true promise of the Word of God became reality. We've seen the Spirit walk the promise of the Spirit. Jesus assures His disciples that although He is leaving physically, they will not be left alone. But the Father will send an advocate for them who will dwell within them and in them. And that promise itself is fulfilled in Acts 2 when the Spirit ascends at Pentecost. The disciples themselves are empowered to witness, to speak boldly, and to carry the message of Jesus forward. The Holy Spirit is not an optional extra, though, is it? But it is. He is essential for our Christian living. Are we living today as if the Holy Spirit is true and truly with us and in us, each one, guiding us, teaching us, and empowering each one of us daily? Jesus shifts our understanding, don't He? The Spirit is not just with them, as He was through Jesus' ministry, but is truly inside them. At Pentecost, that eternal presence becomes real. God no longer dwells in the temple, did he? Not in the temple of stone, right? But in the hearts of all of his people. The Spirit's presence means that we're never truly alone. Because God himself, the one that made us and created us, just like him, is always abiding in us. Like a lamp plugged into power. We are all fully aware, alive, when the Spirit flows through us. So let the Spirit's indwelling presence guide each one of our decisions, transform our hearts, and bring peace in this everlasting chaos. Pentecost brought not only power, but it brought peace, right? In a world filled with fear, the Spirit brings divine comfort. The Spirit reminds us of all that Jesus taught, and brings calm to the storms in our lives. Even in persecution, as the early church experienced, believers can live with peace through that Holy Spirit. Pentecost, again, is not just an emotional fire, is it? But it is a spiritual peace for each one of us. Is your heart at rest in the Spirit today? Are you living for him and not you? Pentecost is truly the fulfillment of Jesus' words in John 14. Again, a promised Spirit, not just for yesterday, but for today as well. A present Spirit, not just around us, right, but within us. And a peace-giving Spirit, not as the world gives, right, but as Christ alone gives. Let's celebrate today, Pentecost, not only as a historical moment, but as a daily reality. Let us welcome the Spirit into our lives afresh to lead, to comfort, and to power us each on the mission ahead that God has for each one of us. As we get ready to close with our final song, let's close in prayer. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence today. Just as you filled the disciples on Pentecost, fill us today. Teach us, guide us, give us peace. May we work in the fullness of your promise today. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come. Lead us, not into fear, but into freedom. Remind us that we are truly children of God. Let your fire burn bright in our hearts tonight, that we may live as witnesses, warriors, and heirs to your glory. And Lord, I ask you to put somebody in front of us this week, Lord, that we can tell about your mercy, your grace, Lord, and your peace, Lord. More importantly, Lord, about your awesome salvation, Lord. Lord, the way that for us out of the world today, Lord. We thank you for each and everything that you do, Lord. I ask you to be with us until the next appointed time. Everybody say it.